Good morning, everyone. Eric Perez, QSI CEO here again. Thank you for joining us on another one of our series of podcasts. Today we're talking about mental health and stress, and I have with us on the line Jane Lovell, CEO of Seafood Industry Australia. Good morning, Jane.
Morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Appreciate your time today. This particular issue has resonance not just across our industry, but across a lot of the agriculture sector. And I wanted to really do this podcast with you to get a bit of an update as to what SIA is doing in this space, possibly some of the challenges you faced, and almost a where to from here for members to get a bit of a grip on. So I'll hand over to you, Jane.
Thanks, Eric. Look, I was in my first week as CEO of Seafood Industry Australia when we were at Seafood Directions that Tanya King gave the chilling statistic of mental health being quite an issue for the Australian seafood industry, and that the levels of psychological stress were about 2 times higher than the baseline Australian community. So that's over a year ago, and it's fair to say that it has been on my agenda for that year, and I'm getting a little frustrated with trying to find exactly an appropriate solution to this issue, and I'd be really happy to talk that through with you today, Eric.
Yeah, thanks. It's one thing that's been vexing me as a state body representative in that because of the reform process up here, and we see it across the border in New South Wales in particular, that there are a lot of stressed commercial fishers and people in roles like myself don't know exactly how to help and want to help, and anything you can do to help us get some guidance on what is possible would be very helpful, because this is a new space for industry. Not the stress side of things, is how do you find appropriate help, and how do you get fisher folk and their families talking about the issue, because our mental health is important, and impacts on that has impacts on the rest of your life. So without going into too much more discussion around how important it is, we need some help in this space, and it's good to hear that SIA is trying to do something to get us there. So can you outline maybe some of the challenges that have been facing you, Jane?
Yeah, so Eric, we raised the issue with the federal minister, Minister Hunt, and eventually we got a response from him, and it was really that he was most interested in talking to us about mental health support once Tanya King's report was actually finished. So that's a little disappointing, because we do understand that research takes a while to do. But he also, in that letter, refers to a number of existing avenues for help. So things like Beyond Blue and Lifeline, and you can go and see a doctor. Now, all of those things are correct. So a little bit to what you were saying before, if people are concerned and do think that they do with a hand or someone to talk to, please ring Beyond Blue or Lifeline or go and see a doctor. But having said that, I absolutely don't underestimate how difficult it is to take that first step, particularly if the people that you're likely to be speaking to don't understand your industry or the pressures that you're under. So for us, the piece that we really believe needs to be put in place is some way to get from feeling alone and stressed to getting to the point of going and asking for help. And there's a lot of assistance available for farmers in that space, but unfortunately, once again, for fishers, we don't have anything tailored for us. So I applaud the work that ISIC is doing in Tasmania with their project Stay Afloat and using Rural Alive and Well, but we need something like that in every state of this country, with regular visits to every port where our fishers are going to be. And that is exactly what SIA is trying to get from the federal government. So if I just tell you a little bit more about what we've been trying to do in that space, or what we've been doing in that space, we've absolutely raised the issue of this absence of support for fishers federally. So just on Thursday, I raised it with the Shadow Minister for Agriculture, Joel Fitzgibbon. Assistant Minister Richard Colbeck knows about it. Assistant Minister Anne Ruston knows about it. Minister McKenzie, who looks after rural and regional health, knows about it. Every opportunity we have to talk about mental health and the crossbenches, you know, when we've been lobbying around marine parks, we've made sure that they also know about one of the consequences being mental health. We've also been directed to speak to a number of providers, so Deakin University, Hunter Health, Royal Flying Doctor Service, Rural and Remote Mental Health, and AusHelp are all people that we've spoken to about trying to find a solution. So they're all the steps we've taken, but as yet, I can't give you that definitive solution for the seafood industry.
Yeah, okay. There seems to be a lot of work that's gone into that, so we can only do what we can do. But the galling thing here is that politicians and those in decision-making positions have been made aware of this over time, yet they let the issue almost go into sleeper mode and someone else will sort it out. And that attitude needs to change, and that's only my perspective as one person looking at the system. If there are models for our cousins on the land, that it should be easily transferable to us, and the funding should be made readily available, because you could point to a number of different reform processes and buybacks and loss of fishing area that have hit us around the country, yet there doesn't seem to be a lot of follow-up post those processes when it comes to stress. I know it's a two-way conversation, but those with the money and ability to do something, and that's how state and federal elected officials need to be doing more in this space. So at least from our association's perspective, we'll do what we can to support you in that. This is going to be an uphill battle of sorts, but we need to make it clear, and we need to get public about why it's important that we have these discussions and that we have the money to follow through to help those that need the help. Sure I'm not saying anything you haven't heard before from discussions that have been had with those on the land. So, you've had some challenges and you've talked to the politicians. Can you give us a sense of where you think the where to from here is?
Yeah, so I'm pleased to say, look, there's some other people I need to recognise in this process. So WinSC, which is now WISER, so the Women's Seafood Industry Network, they are absolutely championing this, and they recently put out a video called Project Regard. So here's the first call to arms for everybody. Get on and find Project Regard and watch it, and then send it to anybody that you think needs to see it to help influence a positive outcome for us. So I have sent the links to many politicians, and it is 14-15 minutes, and it is quite challenging viewing, but please do that. Spread that word. I'm pleased to say, Eric, that the conversations I had on Friday, just the one gone, with the Royal Flying Doctor Service, leads me to believe that we may be on the cusp of having some kind of pilot or project that we can run out through the Royal Flying Doctor Service in places that are appropriate. And I would really like to be in a position to have a deliverable or something we can announce by Christmas. And I know, you know, that's more and more weeks, but we're really pushing hard to try and get that by this Christmas, so that 2019 can be a year where our fishers have support and the support they need. And the other point that I would make, which was made to me by the CEO of the Royal Flying Doctor Service, is that whenever there is legislative change, and this is across the board, one of the things we need to lobby hard for, as you've identified, is legislative change of itself causes stress. So there should be, every time that happens, there should be some consideration for what level of stress that's likely to bring and what level of support needs to be put in for our industry. So it should almost be automatic, because we know that's what happens. I mean, I can't begin to think how difficult it is if you've had 10 years of uncertainty, not knowing whether you're going to be able to fish or not, how you're going to pay the bills, how our fishers have got through that. And I know some haven't got through that so well. So whenever there's legislative change, we should be demanding mental health support. The other thing I would just add is we need to try and destigmatise this issue of mental health. And the CEO of Hunter Health gave me a really interesting concept to think about that. We all have mental health. It's a continuum. You can be positive or it can be heading towards negative. So I can talk to you about the fact that I've got a sore knee or my back's sore. That's just a health problem. So why can't I talk to you about the fact that I'm feeling stressed and I'm a bit uncertain about the future? And why can't that just be an okay conversation? So we need to destigmatize mental health as being some kind of personal flaw. We all have it, and it comes and goes at different times during the day, whether it's positive or negative. So I would really, encourage people to just try and talk about a bit how they're feeling.
Yeah, okay. That seems to be at the core of a lot of what at least I've seen on the net and stuff that people have been sharing is who do you talk to and how do you get the message out there so that you change the culture of how we deal with mental health issues or stress, that's another way to put it, and that it becomes just another topic that we can bring up and deal with, hopefully. I was just going to say before, sorry for interrupting you before, that the longer-term impacts of stress are not well understood because I've been in this role for almost 10 years and I still have fishermen bringing up what feels and seems like real heartfelt pain from the processes when Grumpa, the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park regional zoning was done, and also when the Moreton Bay zoning was done, and this is a decade on from those processes, and there are still people that feel that quite strongly. Whether or not they got help post those processes, I highly doubt. I'm sure someone will prove me wrong when this goes out if that was the case, but look, we all have to keep working in this space, and on behalf of my board, at least I can say that we'll keep having the conversation because it's a necessary one to keep having. So what I'll do for this podcast in terms of the materials there is I'll put a link to the video we were talking about before, and if you've got any other links that you can send me again, Jane, I'll stick them on the website, and when the podcast gets distributed, people can then go again and have a look. And if you can do the same for me by distributing this conversation, then it just keeps the momentum going. Because if people don't talk about this, it becomes a sleeper issue again. And that's not appropriate, and it can't keep happening that way. So, look, again, Jane.
I have another couple of pieces of advice around mental health.
Sure.
So just like I was saying, we all have it. It can be positive or negative at different times. Each of us can do things to try and be in the more positive end of the mental health spectrum, if you like. So some of those things, and this is tough for our industry, I know, fatigue is a problem. So, Eric, you said, I look tired today. I do look tired today. I am tired today. And so my mental health is not quite as good. And so what I'm doing is drinking coffee, which is wrong. I should be rehydrating and drinking a lot of water. Now, that may sound a bit cranky, but that's absolutely. Don't go for the stimulants or alcohol. Go for water, because that can absolutely help. Get enough sleep. And I know that's difficult, but try and get enough sleep when you can. And the whole thing about being able to have a conversation with somebody. I mean, we have Are You Okay Day for a reason. We are not the only sector that struggles to talk about these issues. We're in Mental Health Month right now. Yeah. So it's okay to say to somebody, are you okay? In fact, I've had members ring me to see if I'm okay, and I am. But it's just a good thing to get in the habit of actually asking people, are you okay? Not just, how are you? And we don't actually answer that question. Give an answer. Are you okay?
Yep, and it's okay to say, no, I'm not.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
And so having dealt with farmers before and drought and had a team that went out and did that work, some of those team were concerned about how they should respond if they actually got an inkling that someone wasn't going okay, that things could be getting a bit dangerous. And so we got a bit of support and a bit of help around that. And it is okay to have the conversation. It is okay to say to that person, are you all right? Is there, you know, and to, then to be able to provide maybe assistance to Lifeline or Beyond Blue in the first instance. And it is okay to say, are you having, you know, those bad thoughts? It is okay to ask those questions. You don't have to take it all on board, and but it's okay to let other people know that you care about them and that you're worried about them.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. And for someone like myself who deals with the membership group and has been hearing some stories and people prepared to say, yeah, I'm stressed, I'm not sleeping, I'm not feeling well, it's then having the ability to ask that next question, because it's not just the person who's feeling stressed, it's the person receiving the message too. You've got to encourage someone to do something. Otherwise, just being someone who's just going to listen but not offer advice on this kind of issue doesn't help the person who might be stressed and just leaves it sort of fester and not dealt with. So, no, message understood, Jane. Look, again, thank you for your time. This issue, I guess, still has some more legs to it, and there'll be more to discuss. So as things progress, and if a pilot does become available, I think we should do another podcast and get that information out to industry.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Jane. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We will be back with this issue and others in the near future. So thanks for your time, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.